one of my fondest memories as a child was listening to music. Oh, and the sweetest thing about it was that music was not just a pastime for me. I felt it was a duty to listen to music. I remember always going to my friend Alex's house after school. And before I got to the door of their living room, I was always greeted by either the music of an African music legend or a scene from a classic Indian movie. Yes, Alex's dad loved Amitabh Bachchan and Dhamendra. I think it was a rave when they were younger. But out of all the music that Alex's dad played, one stuck with us, that's Alex and me. The music of Brenda Fassie. Something we didn't know was that Brenda was more than a South African music icon. We didn't know the hardships she went through and her rise to become the queen of African pop music. Hello, Jammy fam. Welcome to another episode of Long Story Short. And I'm your host, as always, Liwa. Today, we take a look at the life and legacy of African music legend, Brenda Nokuzola Fassie, the Madonna of the townships. So, grab a coffee and take a seat, cause it's story time. May 9th, 2004 was celebrated as Mother's Day around the world. What many didn't know was that it would be the last time the Madonna of the townships breathed. However, I didn't get the dose of that bad news until the next day, May 10, when Alex met me at the entrance of their compound, breaking the news in the best way he could, with a downcast face. Oh, Alex. And if my memory serves me right, the rest of the day was gloomy for two boys. It was as if we had lost a very close friend. Here's what we didn't know. On April 26, 2004, Brenda was rushed to a hospital in Johannesburg due to cardiac arrest. Although she was resuscitated by the doctors, she slipped into a coma. And for the next 2 weeks, her fans in Rainbow Nation held prayers and services in hopes that she wakes from the coma. But that was never to be. When the news of her death broke, the story was that the heart failure was as a result of an asthma attack, which Brenda had battled with almost all her life. But her death had revealed much more than the world was made to believe. Apparently, Brenda's heart failure was caused by a drug overdose. It is believed that the crack cocaine which she had smoked the night before her cardiac arrest was laced with rat poison. How tragic. Truth be told, Brenda Fassie lived a colorful life. But what were the origins of the problems that led to her death? What roles did she play with her music? On the 3rd of November 1964, a township near Cape Town called Langa welcomed a baby who was named Brenda. Her parents had named her after an American singer named Brenda Lee, and it was almost as if they had mapped out their daughter's future just from her name. At the young age of 5, she already had tourists paying to hear a melodious and soul-touching voice with her first band named the Tiny Tots. A suitable name, if you ask me. Another chapter opened up in Brenda's life, however, when she turned 16. You see, a prominent music producer from Johannesburg named Koloi Lebona came knocking at their family home in Langa, and he was following up on recommendations from other musicians who had heard Brenda sing. When Lebona met Brenda, he confirmed the originality and the purity of the young girl's voice, and he called it the voice of the future. After much deliberations and agreement between Lebona and Brenda's family, Brenda moved to Soweto to live with Lebona's family. There, she was actually supposed to finish school before officially kickstarting her music career. But talent and skill can only be hidden for so long. She took the opportunity to replace a member of the singing group called Joy. after that member took maternity leave. And that was only the beginning for Brenda. When her contract ended with Joy, she made an appearance on the Blondie and Papa Road show just before she formed her own group, Brenda and the Big Dudes. Brenda made her first recording in 1983 with the hit single Weekend Special. This song became the fastest selling record at that time. The song enjoyed great international popularity, and Brenda and the Big Dudes toured the United States, Britain, Europe, Australia, and even Brazil. During her tours with Brenda and the Big Dudes, Brenda had established herself as a great solo pop star, leading her to work with Cello, Chico Twala. Their partnership proved to be one of the most successful in the South African music industry. Her album, Too Late for Mama, which they put together, earned platinum status in 1989. However, for Brenda though, music was much more than just the dancing and having a good time. Music was a weapon, and she proved this in many ways that disrupted the apartheid system in South Africa, which gave her more global recognition. Brenda Fassie brought the experience of freedom very close. And this was because she disrupted the divide between private and public with her verbal ungovernability. This is according to writer and literary critic Njabulo Ndebele. Her actions had wide-ranging social and cultural implications. For example, her concerts that were held at apartheid stadiums were turned into boisterous cultural sites. Now, despite all her contributions to music and her people, Brenda's private life was never given a day off. Not one day off. She was always a target for the tabloids, who made it their mission to unravel what they might have thought to be the mystery behind her life. And oh boy, they sure did. They sure did. While Brenda broke records with her album sales, she also scandalized audiences and society with her embrace of drugs, alcohol, and a variety of lovers, which included both male and female. She had this catch me if you can game with the media, which made her a tabloid favorite. And this led to her career taking a dive in 1995, when she ended up in rehab. When observers and critics thought that Brenda's career was over, they thought wrong. They thought wrong. She returned like a phoenix rising from its ashes. And in 1996, she released her album, Now Is The Time, and a follow-up album 2 years later titled Wemeza, which became the best-selling South African release of the year and earned her numerous South African music awards. But Mabr, as her South African fans called her, was not done. No, she wasn't. Following her recent successes, Brenda Fassie received the Kora Award for the Best Female Artist in 1999. And her next album, Numakanjani, reached triple platinum status just within a few months of its release. Wow. Now, as if to endorse her status as an international icon, Time magazine featured a 3-page special on Brenda in 2001, calling her the Madonna of the townships. Unfortunately, Brenda's colored past caught up with her at a tender age of 39, and she left behind a son who she never saw the words of her infamous song, Vulindlela, come to life through. Something I'm grateful for, or should I say something I'm happy about, is that Brenda was seen through her music for what she was, and not what we thought she might have been. Her voice and music embodied her hopes for Africa. And importantly, she was celebrated while she was alive. Alex and me still share the same taste in music, funny enough, and it's been years. But we always remember our favorite. Mi do 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 la do ti.
Me do 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 la do ti.
And with that, we draw the curtain on today's episode. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want to support what we do on this show, then please share with your friends, subscribe, and leave a review on our website and also on iTunes. That's all for now, but I'll see you in the next episode of Long Story Short, hosted by me, Liwa, from Jamit.fm.
Long Story Short was produced by Liwa and Aiko Rizu. This episode was edited, mixed and mastered by Aiko Rizu. Long Story Short is a production of Jamit Media.